My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Name. Amen. Now everyone who's taking notes, and those of you that missed the third prayer this morning and have bombarded me asking what the third prayer was, I missed it on purpose. I ran out of time this morning, and it would have taken me too long to explain it. And so I figured you'd rather go to dinner. And you probably wouldn't have, but I just felt like it was in the Holy Ghost to stop right where I stopped. But anyway, when you pray a prayer of repentance, and this is what Daniel did when you read that ninth chapter, that prayer of repentance. God, we messing up here, and we did a lot of things, and that's the reason this judgment has come upon us. And then he prayed, Lord, we need to align ourselves. We need to obey your commandments. We need to come back into obedience to what you have taught us, to the truth, to the things that we know we're supposed to do. And he aligned himself. And then finally, and here's the deal with Pentecostals, because I've seen this happen so many times. They bypass that alignment prayer. And they go straight to the final part, that final verse of his prayer, where he prayed a prayer of authority, where he began to speak to God. God, hear, forgive, hearken, defer not, do it for your name's sake and for thy people. And when he prayed that prayer of authority, repentance does not qualify you to pray with authority. Alignment qualifies you to pray with authority. Because we repent, we feel the presence of the Lord. We come to the altar, we jump and shout, we cry, we carry on. Oh, I felt the presence of God. Now God's going to do it. And then he doesn't do it, and you don't know why. Because you're not aligned to anything. You're not in agreement with anything. There's no yes in your spirit. There's always either an excuse or a no. Now, most of you probably don't have a lot of no in your spirit, but you have excuses of why you're exempt. But none of us are exempt. But church, I feel in the Holy Ghost that God is going to empower us to pray a prayer of authority over sickness, disease, trouble, circumstances, and trial. We're going to say, God, forgive. Defer not. Do it now. Do it for your name's sake. Do it in Jesus' name. It shall be done. Hallelujah. But we want that authority without the alignment, and it just doesn't work. So I believe that God is asking us to pray a prayer of repentance, a prayer of alignment, and a prayer of authority, where we speak to the mountain, not ask for it, but declare it as if God's already given it to us. Amen. And that way, you get out of the crying stage of feeling bad because you're in the circumstance you're in, and then you get in a faith stage where you're now taking authority over it and walking in power. And that will change everything. I want to go back to Daniel, but another chapter, Daniel chapter 7 and verse 1, as I want to share with you tonight what we're fighting. I want to share with you tonight what we're fighting. Because if you don't understand what you're fighting, it's very difficult to stay the course. Especially if you feel like if you quit aligning yourself, repenting, and speaking with authority, then it seems like the pressure releases and you're not under as much attack by the enemy. But I think it's a wise thing for us to know so that we can be armed to defeat it. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed, that he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens drove upon the great sea. Now notice, and a lot of people miss this verse in the text when they're doing their prophecy stuff, because notice that it takes four winds blowing on the great sea before these four beasts can reveal themselves. And those four winds are four spirits that work to set up these beasts and give them power to operate in the earth. And so that's the reason why he talked about those four winds. And then he talks about the four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side. It had three ribs in his mouth between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. And after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. And the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given unto it. And after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast. And here is something that is not named in the scripture. We don't know what kind of beast it is. It just called it the fourth beast. Dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. It had great iron teeth that devoured it, broke in pieces, stamped in the residue of the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the other beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. Now, David faced in 2 Samuel 21, 20 and 21, his men came up against a giant that had no name. There's no name for this giant. All of the other giants that he and his men had faced, there was a name for it. But the only identifying mark for this particular giant is that he was a man of great stature and had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each of his feet. Meaning, when he gets a grip on you, he's got you. And I want to talk to you tonight about a spirit with no name. A spirit with no name. Because that is exactly what we're fighting right now. And when I explain all of this to you, you'll understand exactly why I'm saying it. And there is a wind blowing in our earth. If you want to understand what's happening in the globalism that being pushed by all of the nations of the world, of a one world government, that spirit is already at work in our earth right now to prepare the way for the coming of the one world government. And people are being deceived by that spirit, because you wouldn't accept it knowing what they're going to do to you if you allow this government to form. If it forms, then I promise you there is no place for the Christian faith whatsoever in a one world government. Unless you're in the one world church. No place for an apostolic. No place for a tongue talker, I can tell you that right now. No place for this church in that government. And it will crush. It is an indescribable beast. And it has great dominion and power. But we'll talk about that here in a moment. But I believe that God has shown me exactly what we need to do to defeat the beast. Now, prophetically speaking, we cannot change the direction and the destiny of the world that's on the path of the fulfillment of prophecy. We cannot do that. But as long as the church is here, we are the light of the world, and we're holding back the Antichrist. And so while we have to fight that wind that blows and that spirit that's at work to set all of this up, It has a specific attack of what it tries to do. And I want to explain it to you. We're going to defeat it tonight, or we're going to be empowered to go out and defeat it in our own personal lives in Jesus' name. All right? Put your Bibles down. Lift your hands and say, God, anoint me to defeat the beast. Hallelujah. Anoint me to be impervious to his attacks, to have an impenetrable shield that cannot be defeated. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated. I understand that these ancient prophecies given to Daniel are speaking of kingdoms and nations. It is my understanding that the Bible has more than one fulfillment. There is a historical fulfillment that can be pointed back in history to show the fulfillment of these texts. And then there is a future prophetic event that will take place where they are also fulfilled again in coming generations. It is my understanding that the lion represents Great Britain, and that the eagle's wings that were broken off represents the United States, and the bear represents Russia, and the leopard represents Germany. I also know that these beasts also represent spirits that drive and guide nations and kingdoms and leaders. If you remember the Third Reich in Germany, when Nazi Germany took over, you have to understand that its leadership was consumed with trying to find artifacts of the occult, because they were being driven by a demonic spirit. At first, it looked like they were very prosperous and obviously very ingenious in their ability to operate and to take over their nation and lift it out of the depression and lift it out of all of the pain of the First World War and the destruction that took place. But it also began a very evil assignment to take out God's people and to destroy the Jewish people. You cannot tell me that a human being can think up that kind of horror. You cannot tell me that a human being by himself, without any influence of demonic power and force, can think up that kind of strategy to destroy an entire people and murder over 6 million innocent, I'm talking about non-military personnel, in gas chambers and horrors. And I've even had friends that are now going on to be with the Lord that were a part of units that opened up some of those places and literally saw horrors that they couldn't even talk about even to the day that we were discussing it. But Daniel saw four beasts come up out of the sea, and they were all different, and three of them he could identify as a lion and a bear and a leopard. And then he tries to describe this fourth beast in his night visions, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and broke in pieces and stamped in residue with the feet of it, and was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. There was nothing to compare to it. He couldn't even give the beast an identity. There was no word picture even in the Hebrew that went with any of these words to describe this fourth beast, because it was so terrible. And I understand that this last beast is symbolic of a one world government that will reign in the last days during the reign of the Antichrist. But again, there is a spirit that has to drive this kingdom, because it can't just take over, because there's too many cultures and there's too many ways of thinking in the world. So there's got to be a deception that has to come to people, and they don't realize that they're buying into something like they did not realize they were buying into with Adolf Hitler. They didn't understand what was about to happen to them. And they didn't realize that what their nation would try and accomplish. So even in today's world, that deception is existing. The Antichrist will be possessed by the devil himself, And the entire one world religion and one world government will be governed and driven by Satan. In 1 John 2:18, it says, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And then in 1 John 4:3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. According to John, the spirit of the Antichrist was already working back then. And all of these efforts by Napoleon and Hitler and different ones to try to conquer the world, it just seems like it's a spirit that drives them to do this. And they will allow their own people to be murdered for these causes. And it doesn't even make sense. It doesn't even make economic sense. And yet they will still marshal their armies and get their young men into their armies and send them out to try to conquer the world. And I've come to the pulpit tonight to tell you that in these final hours, we are dealing with a wicked spirit. It is dreadful, it is terrible, and it is hard to describe because it is a spirit without a name. It is hard to identify it. We've never seen anything quite like what we are seeing developing in our world today. It rises from the darkness. It is dreadful. It is terrible. And it is exceedingly strong. With great iron teeth, it'll devour and annihilate everything it encounters. It'll crush beneath its feet and destroy its prey. I've been preaching now for 51 years. And I've been a pastor for 25 years, and I have encountered some wicked spirits along the way. But I am seeing and hearing things now that I thought I would never deal with or dream of that I would have to deal with. An unholy and unclean spirit loosed upon this generation. It seeks to kill and to destroy. It is satanic. And I am the shepherd and the watchman on the wall. And I have to sound the trumpet and warn you today. It is a spirit without a name. It is vicious. It is violent. And I believe we need to stir ourselves and shake ourselves and wake up and knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. If Jesus looked at Peter and told him, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, and that I've prayed for you. Let me tell you, in standing for Jesus for a moment and declare to you that Satan desires to have you, church, and he wants to sift you as wheat. But I believe that I have prayed for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I believe there's a mad devil loose. You don't see it in the media, but our church is being persecuted all over the world. People are being killed. People are being murdered all over the world. And the governments are doing nothing to stop it. Revelation 12:12 says, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Satan knows that his time is short and that he has unleashed every foul spirit, every diabolical weapon in his arsenal upon this generation. I have never seen such an attack of righteousness in the mainstream media, United States government, and our education system. I sometimes shake my head and wonder, are we in communist China or the United States of America? It's a bold, in-your-face promotion of all kinds of immorality. It staggers the mind of a child of God. I believe God can still deliver anyone from any spiritual bondage or immorality or deception if they're willing to repent. And we will never win anybody by hating them or getting as angry as they are. We can only win people by loving them. It comes down to one thing, church. Do you believe the Bible is true or not? And really, it comes down to that one thing. Do you believe the Bible is true or not? I want to say it again. It comes down to one thing. Do you believe the Bible is true or not? I'm sorry, I love everybody, but I don't care what the politicians say. I don't care what the latest popular singer's got to say about it. I don't care what some Hollywood starlet or actor's got to say about it. I don't care what the politically correct preachers in the pulpits around America's got to say about it. It matters absolutely nothing what they have to say. Everything, the Bible is the final authority on every subject. Not one subject, every subject. Today, truth is under attack. I've never seen so many people being deceived by false doctrine and false teachings as I am right now. I'm talking about people I was raised with. I'm talking about people that I've seen laid out in prayer meetings and people that have been touched by the hand of God and preached powerfully under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, totally turn around and change what they preach to preach something totally foreign to anything I've ever heard from an apostolic pulpit, because they no longer believe that the Bible is the final authority. But I believe also that we have encountered a rebellion against authority of the man of God and the pulpit as well as the Word of God. But I have heard it all my life, and you have too. If you ain't right with the pastor, you ain't right with the master. You don't have the luxury of sitting there and having ill feelings against the authority that God puts in this pulpit on just based on your presumption of things you don't even know about, but you think you do, but you don't. But the last time I checked my Bible, it is still rebellion, and it still has the sin of witchcraft, and it is a spirit driven and demonically inspired. The world's messed up and doesn't even know it. But I say, church, we need to rise up and believe that the Word of God is still true. We live in a day when movie stars and singers and sport figures strut across center stage, spawning new images of immorality and idolatry. And the church can be prayerless. And if we're prayerless, we are powerless. And when a devil is loose, we don't need to be prayerless in this hour, for we will be powerless. Because where there is little prayer, there is little power. But where there is great prayer, there is great power. Media moguls multiply messages, glorifying and glamorizing everything that's unholy, ungodly, unclean, and unethical. Educators take our tax dollars and transform them into treacherous teaching that molds the minds of young men and women, turning them away from the teaching of their parents and their God. The abject horror of abortion has accelerated in America. And I don't want to hurt anybody that's found themselves deceived by that concept and maybe have done something like that. Jesus can forgive them of anything. But still, we cannot sit idly by while innocents are being slaughtered by the millions. It cannot be done, church. Drug abuse damages and demeans the dignity of an entire generation. Power-hungry politicians push perverted programs in the name of progress so they can keep their position. And powerless preachers pump people full of patronizing platitudes and spiritual nonsense. But God help us wake up. There's a mad devil loose, and he's on an all-out attack against everything that's holy and godly and right. And we as a church can't afford to get distracted from our purpose. I'm going to just preach it right down the line. No wonder Jesus said in the last days the love of many would wax cold, and only those willing to fight, and only those that are willing to contend, and those that are only willing to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I'm not talking about a newfangled religion. I'm not talking about some new concept or politically correct mess. I'm not talking about the Oprah Jesus or the Jesus of Rick Warren and the Western culture. I'm talking about the Jesus of the Bible. I'm talking about the one who died on a cross. I'm talking about the one who can transform your life. I think somebody ought to be willing to fight for what you believe in and stand up and say, well, if I can't do anything, I can pray and I can seek the Lord. We live in a day when people have no fear of God. They certainly don't have any respect for him. They don't have any respect for his house. They don't have any respect for his ministers or his people. How can people sing on the platform on Sunday and then sin immorally on Saturday night? And then shout and wipe their mouth and say they've done no wrong. It's a spirit of deception. They can't even blush anymore. They're not even embarrassed that they do it. They just do it because it's a deception. There's a spirit without a name that we must contend with. It stalks people with the intent to devour them with its iron teeth and crush with its feet. How can people lay down the truth and suddenly get a new revelation that nothing's wrong anymore? And then they've allowed every kind of nonsense into their lives that you can think of. Suddenly anything goes. Doctrine doesn't matter. Truth doesn't matter. Holiness, principles don't matter. There's a wicked devil loose and he's deceiving the masses. That's the reason why the Bible cautions us and commands us by the truth and shall it not. You better love the truth. And if you don't fall in love with the truth, the Bible speaks of God turning you over to a reprobate mind, delusions, believing lies, and being damned for eternity. This is not you deceiving yourself. This is God allowing you to be deceived. If some of you would be honest with me today, you would admit that you have felt like all hell has been assaulting you and your family. But mostly your mind is under attack. Your emotions, your marriage, your sanity, everything you believe has been questioned and attacked by the adversary. No wonder Jesus said in the last days, even the very elect could be deceived and would not be saved. And I'm telling you, church, and I just say this in all sincerity and love, it's no time to play church or religious games. Because I'm going to tell you, the devil ain't playing no games today. I said he's not playing around. Prayerless, worldly, carnal, lukewarm Christians will be devoured by this deceptive spirit. You will never survive the onslaught that is taking place right now. Never. You never will. It will take you down. And then that mouth of yours will take everybody down around you. But I'm telling you, you need to. But if somebody could wake up, if somebody could come alive. Church, if you realized how powerful you are, if you realize who you are in Christ, if you realize your authority, you can rise up right now and pray that prayer of repentance and align yourself with the purpose of God. And God would give you authority to speak in Jesus' name. In Psalm 23, I found my answer. So what do we need? David said it. Thou anointest my head with oil. One thing I have treasured more than anything in my life. Now, I speak to a lot of different audiences, and I've learned how to be a good speaker. And I've learned how to connect with audiences, when to set off a firecracker, when to set off a nuclear bomb, when to make it happen. And here's the problem with that. You can learn how to preach. You can learn how to sing, and you can learn how to do Pentecost and be as backslid. I'm going to say it again. Be as backslid as you can be, because it can be a learned art. But I'm not interested in learning my art to where I can fake it so I can make it in today's world. I want to see a Holy Ghost, Jesus' name, revival. Here's what's got to happen. In the early evening, after a long day of grazing, the shepherd stands at the door of the sheepfold. Beside him is an earthen bowl filled with olive oil. One by one, the sheep will pass by the shepherd, and he carefully examines them for briars and cuts. Then he will lovingly apply the oil on the wounds of that sheep. And there's another reason why the shepherd anoints the head of the sheep with oil. But first of all, you cannot live in this world and not get wounded. And you're not unique. So quit feeling sorry for yourself, because everybody here gets wounded in the house of their friends. Dumb people say dumb things. And as long as there's a church and people in it, you're going to hear some crazy stuff said. And I don't know why they said that to me. And I don't know what they meant by that. Who cares what they said and who cares what they meant? But that's not doing you any good, because you're still hurting. So let me apply some anointment and get some oil on your heart. And let the Spirit of the Lord start ministering to those wounds in your heart. Because I promise you, nobody's got it easy. And if you want to deceive yourself and think what you're going through is worse than what somebody else is going through, you need to walk with me, and I'll show you some people that are a whole lot worse off than you ever thought about being on your worst day. That their best day is worse than your worst day. And that's a fact. But you see, you need anointing oil to be able to see that. But there's another reason why the shepherd anoints the head of the sheep with oil. Because while grazing in the heat of the day, flies become a pest to the sheep. And I'm talking about large horse flies that bite and suck the blood out of the sheep. One of the purposes for the anointing this sheep with oil is this prevents the flies from landing on the sheep and biting them. And oil in the Bible is a type of the Spirit, and we are anointed with the Holy Ghost. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. This anointing is essential, and we got to have it. Howbeit, some things don't come out but by prayer and fasting. That's what Matthew 17:21 says. So we got called to war after the first, and we're going to start, for those of you that have your birthday on January the 6th, we're going to start on January the 7th, and we're going to fast from the 7th to the 14th. And as we get closer to that, I'm going to tell you what kind of fast we're going to go on. I want to hit everybody in the church. So all of you that have to take medication, and those of you that are older than Methuselah that can't fast more than 2 minutes without eating, and all you young people that have to have your little sweets every 30 minutes. No, we're going on the whole fast, young people. We're not going to eat anything. Nothing. So we're going to do prayer and fasting after the first of the year. Call to war. It'll start on Wednesday night. I believe that's the 8th. We'll go the 9th that evening, and then Friday during the day, Friday night, Saturday during the day up to noon. So that's our call to war. Brother Josh Herring will be with us, and we will have a great time. Church, we need to go to our knees in fervent prayer. And I told you this morning what kind of praying we need to do and seek God for this anointing. There is a way to secure it, but there is no shortcut to it. Do you know why people have walked away from truth? You know why? Because it's too hard to pray and fast anymore. Because they're getting bit by flies. They're getting fly bit. But God wants to destroy the yokes off of you. And the Lord showed this to me. And so I'm just going to share it with you. He told me, I will deliver my people from every yoke tonight. There will be nothing. He wants to bring you deliverance. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be delivered. And he wants you to be healed. And if you're going to conquer this spirit, we got to have a continuous flow of this anointing. And that takes a continuous attitude of prayer. Yokes are destroyed because of the anointing. The anointing will change the normal, ordinary church into a supernatural house of signs and wonders and miracles. And we can have it. I said we can have it. And we must have it. I'm praying that you will take up the responsibility of fasting and prayer in order to secure the anointing in this church, because it is the anointing that will make the difference. Jesus Christ means the anointed one. I can do all things through Christ, through his anointing. Psalm 92 and 10. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. We need fresh oil and fresh anointing. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Here's why we need our heads anointed with oil. I mentioned earlier how that in the evening hours as the sun is setting, it is dangerous to be outside, and especially in the summertime, wherever you might be in the South. Because we're living in that evening time. There are demonic spirits and oppression from hell that's attacking us from every angle. Flies. And then I got to thinking about it. Matthew 12:24. And when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fella, hallelujah, doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Beelzebub is the prince of demonic spirits, and his name means the Lord of the flies. You want to know why we need to have our heads anointed with oil? Because there are satanic spirits, flies, that are attacking the minds of every child of God. And we need the anointing of God like we've never needed it before. Here's what's happening. The battlefield's not in here and it's not out there. It's right between our ears. There are spirits from hell that have been dispatched to war against your mind. But be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The devil's trying to suck the life out of your brain so you cannot feel anything when you come to church. He wants you to be so numb that if you shouted and clapped for a whole 10 hours, you wouldn't feel enough Holy Ghost to fill the bottom of a thimble. But I promise you, it is a trick of the enemy. That's why some of you have had strange thoughts. We've got people that are thinking about suicide, that have never thought about suicide in their life, and it's attaching itself to their minds. Some of your minds are being bombarded with confusion and doubt and fears and judgmental attitudes and criticism. You're just thinking stuff up in your mind, and the devil's telling you it's true, and you just hear a segment of what somebody else says and it speaks to you. That voice speaks to you, a demonic voice speaks to you and tells you it's true, it's true. Then you go repeat it like it's true. And then you've done false witness. And now God's against you, going to fight against you because that's a false witness. And you can't do that. You got to lay down that criticism, that lust, that suspicion, that crazy thought that you don't even know where it's coming from. The enemy's trying to suck the joy out of your life, the worship out of your spirit. He's trying to confuse you, deceive you, and mess you up. The answer is you need your head anointed with oil and you need the Holy Ghost. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. Woo! It's by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Can I declare it with authority? Because I've prayed my prayer of repentance, and I have prayed my prayer of alignment, and I speak with authority right now in the name of Jesus. Today, you are going to be delivered. Today. Woo! Hallelujah. Anxiety. I'm talking about panic attacks coming out of nowhere to people. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. You're going to get a breakthrough tonight. Tonight, this church is going to experience a breakthrough. Now, I know some of you already, with your practical way of thinking, are thinking it's not going to work. And that lets me know you hadn't prayed a prayer of repentance, you hadn't been praying your alignment, and you hadn't been praying with authority. And so if you're not praying that way, this is not going to make a bit of sense to you. So just forget I'm saying it. Just do what you have to do. But I'm going to go ahead and speak it. Because I've been doing this for the last 5 years. So I could stand here tonight and speak this word to you. Amen. Day in and day out. When everything would attack your mind that you can think of from the enemy. And voices. And it looks like this voice is confirming that. And this voice is confirming that. But I rebuked it in Jesus' name for your sake. Because God showed me I'm putting you through what they're going through so you'll have compassion for them when it's time for you to preach. So when you speak with authority, you don't speak to wound, you speak to deliver and to heal. So I'm going to say it again. Today, we're going to experience deliverance, and today, we're going to have breakthrough in the Holy Ghost. I said today. I'm going to say it one more time. Confusion and doubt. You're going to leave this place right now in Jesus' name. Confusion and doubt. You have no authority over God's people. Quadabasharama. None. I come against the Lord of the flies. The only good news that I have is that flies have a 40-day lifespan. 40 days is all their lifespan is. So if I can get you from here 40 days from now with this prayer, the flies are going to die. Hallelujah. A natural death. But you, woo, hallelujah, are going to live forever. Because what is in you is not, it has no life span. It has no death expectancy because you are a born again. Here's something else. I'm declaring it. Fear, panic, anxiety, and depression. You are going to leave in Jesus' name. Some preacher from Oklahoma called me today and said he heard Wilbur King died. And I said, well, I don't know who that bald man was running in the church service today, but I don't think he's dead yet. And he had already heard that he had not died, so that was the good news. But now he's running in church. Why? Because I believe that God's going to give us authority. And if I can get you to pray, and if I can get you to fast, and if I can get you, I come against every panic, every tormenting thought of condemnation over your past is going to leave today. Some of you are going to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Tonight, you might be in for the battle of a lifetime, but give it 40 days. Them flies can't live for 40 days. They're dead. Amen. So you've got an opportunity tonight to be anointed. So Brother Jim Kiesling, I want you to come up to the front. Mike Herbst, I want you to get him a basket, give him a bottle of oil, and give him some of these prayer cloths. And I want you, Brother Jim, to stand right here at the corner with that basket. And I want you to anoint. You just stand there and you just pour anointing oil on all those cloths as much as you can get without dripping it all over your pretty suit. And Liza jumping on me. Then I will know fear and depression. And all the things I just preached against will come right back on me. I'm not preaching against you because these have happened to you. Or these are working against you. I'm trying to get you in alignment because I believe God wants to give us authority over them so that we can operate in authority and power. That is what I want you to do. Do you understand the difference? Amen. Do you understand the difference? Brother Dennis Gravett, I want you to come and get the other bottle of oil and the other basket, and I want you to come stand over here to the right side of the pulpit, and you just do your thing. Gary Thomas, I want you to come over here want you to get a basket and start anointing. Just anoint it. Just do the best you can. It's just simply in obedience to the word. If any sick among you, call for the elders of the church. I'm calling for the, can I call for the elders of the church? I can call them. And I say, anoint their heads with oil, that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if there's any sin, shall be forgiven you. So it's got more power in it than just simply you walking out without arthritis hurting you, or without your pancreas messing up, or your liver in a mess, whatever it is. So God's able to do it all. All right? Brother Ed Brennan, why don't you come get a basket and go all the way over there to the organ, or right there in the corner there, this side of the organ. Amen. There have been 5 bottles of oil and 5 baskets. Not quite as many as Jesus had. He had 12. But for this night, now, let me ask you this. Periodically in my life, and you may think this strange, and you may think that it doesn't matter, but it has been a blessing to me. I've had people, men of God, anoint me with oil. And I'm just going to stand up here, right in the middle, and they're going to give me a bottle of oil whenever they can get the rest of them to complete their project. And if you want to be anointed, I've asked men of God. I haven't asked every man of God to do this. Because, and I love all of them, but I don't want everybody's anointing. And I'm talking about great men of God. And I respect them, I love them, but I didn't want their anointing. Not because they're bad, but because God said no. And if God says no, I say no. If they want to anoint me, that's fine. But I'm not going to ask for it. But there are certain people that I have asked specifically to anoint me with oil. Because of whatever I was going through, I needed that special empowerment. And this is what the Lord showed me. This is one of those times, church, we need that kind of empowerment. And you may want me to anoint you with oil tonight. And if you do, I will anoint you with oil. If you want to just come up here and get some of these prayer cloths, bring home. But I want you to keep one of them for yourself. And I want you to keep it for at least 40 days. Because it's not, I don't want it to be an idol to you. I just want it to be a symbol of your obedience to the word of God, that's all. And God does honor those things. And he will honor it in your life if you will understand what I'm asking you to do. Because if you're not anointed with oil, that spirit will, and if you do because you're connected in community and culture to this church where nothing could shake you from the church, you're going to be miserable. Because you won't have function, you won't have usefulness, you won't have a word from the Lord. There won't be that power to overcome that God wants you to have. Because I believe, and this has been spoken to me by every preacher that's walked in our pulpit for the last 20 years, that God wants to use this church mightily in the earth to do a great work among the peoples of God and say, I've always wanted, well, if that's what God wants, that's what I want. I mean, I don't know if that's what God wants. That's what they said. So I'm assuming they heard from God. And if they have, then I accept that. And some of that you just have to put before the Lord. You don't know whether it's from God or not. You just say, God, is it from you? Then do it. Amen. Amen. That's what I say. So I don't try to overstate things. But I do want to receive everything God has. But mostly, I want you to be delivered from these flies that are biting the fire out of you. And maybe you can't admit to anybody that they're there. I don't know. Maybe you feel like you've served the Lord long enough it shouldn't be, and yet it is. And you're just tolerating it, but you're miserable. And you need the anointing oil tonight to deliver you. But you got to pray repentance, alignment, and authority. Those three levels have to be in your prayer like it was Daniel, to birth a promise or prophetic word, even from the book, in order for it to come into existence. That's the only way to do it. Nehemiah did it. Daniel did it. You're going to have to do it. I'm going to do it. Jesus taught us to do it. You're just not going to get around it. So, do it.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.